This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Today on CityCast Portland, we're revisiting a conversation we had with our city's resident fast food expert, Bill Oakley. Now, if you're not familiar with his online reviews or TV appearances discussing all things junk food, you might still know him from his work as a showrunner for The Simpsons. He worked on that show for 5 seasons and has probably written some of your favorite lines that you're still quoting to this day. And with National Hamburger Day coming up on the 28th of the month, write it down, we figured you might need Bill's honest takes on Portland's fast food scene. We've also been getting dozens of emails from CityCast fans mesmerized by the shirtless man in our Instagram feed last week. So here he is, folks, the man, the myth, the legend, Bill Oakley. It's Monday, May 6th. I'm Claudia Meza, and this is what Portland's talking about. Welcome, Bill. I've been looking forward to this interview. You know, I'm a huge fan of The Simpsons and your food reviews, and so it's super exciting to have you on the show. Like, I've been watching your Instagram feed since like 2018.
Wow. Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm honored. And you get a special badge for being almost a 6-year member of this crazy adventure.
I know you've shared a bit of this with other people, but for those who are just encountering the Bill Oakley world, can you share why you decided to start documenting your fast food outings?
Well, food has always been my hobby, you know, and the advent of large-scale social media has allowed me to make it into more of an unpaying job than a hobby. So I have always been the kind of person who always wanted to try the new flavor of Oreos, the new types of potato chips, the new item at McDonald's, for instance. And then in 2018, when McDonald's decided to start having fresh rather than frozen beef for their quarter pounders, I went out, I want to be the first one to get one. And then I was like, you know, maybe I just make a video because like if the photos aren't going to do it justice. And I did make a video. It took me 3 hours to stitch together 2 shots because I didn't know anything about video on the phone or whatever. And it actually got like, it got a fair amount of attention for me. I had like a couple hundred Instagram followers. Like the head chef at McDonald's saw it and people were like, hey, congratulations on your new career as a food blogger. I think McDonald's actually said that. And I was like, well, maybe I should keep doing this. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah.
Now here we are 6 years later. And I'm on the History Channel on the Food That Built America as one of their experts on, you know, American food culture history. And I get invited to write articles and be on panels and stuff. So it's pretty much an unpaying job, but it is a lot of fun.
I feel like you got a lot of attention because of your, you know, prior life as a writer for The Simpsons. You wrote some of the funniest sketches, you know, steamed hams. I feel like you created so much culture. So I love the idea of you, your second act being, you know, you critiquing a certain aspect of it.
Well, thank you. And I wrote all that stuff with my partner, Josh Weinstein, except for steamed hams, which I wrote myself. And it particularly steamed hams has taken on a life of its own over the past couple years. But that's part of the reason why I have this club called the Steamed Ham Society, which is a whole bunch of people all over the world, just like me, that want to talk about food all the time.
Another thing that I found interesting was that you moved to Portland. Like, I was wondering if your time on the Simpsons had anything to do with that decision, because like, did our city just make sense to you after writing like a pretty fictional version of it?
You know, honestly, it didn't really have anything to do with that. The Simpsons Portland connection is a lot bigger now than it used to be. At the time, it was just like, we got Kearney, we got Lovejoy, we got Quimby, and that kind of thing. And we didn't even talk about it that much back in the day. And I think since that Portland has taken on a much larger role in the American scene in the past 15 years, I think it's people have become more aware of that. But unfortunately, the answer is it was just because I wanted to move to a place that was really fun to live in, where they had good public schools to raise my children in.
Well, did you happen to see that scene where the Simpsons visit Portland for the first time a few years ago?
I did see that episode. It was actually a whole episode, as I recall, or at least one act of an episode. I really enjoyed it. I had nothing to do with it. And, you know, obviously it trafficked in the Portland stereotypes that were so popular a few years ago with Portlandia and stuff, but I did enjoy it.
Let's just enjoy Portland. I mean, I can't believe we've never been here before. Indigenous artworks, craft breweries, independent movie theaters, and that's just in one coffee shop.
I was curious, like, if you thought they missed any obvious jokes. Like, if you're just like, oh, I can't believe they didn't they didn't think about this one. Because, like, the whole passive aggressiveness, I was like, right on, you know?
Yeah. You know, I can't remember it well enough to recall what they did and didn't do in it, but I recall having a generally positive feeling about it. And that's only, I've only seen like two Simpsons episodes in the past 15 or 20 years. So it's, that was one of them. I purposely tuned in for that.
Nice.
Every time I watch Simpsons, I'm like, oh, that's not the way that should be. You know, Homer wouldn't say that. Bart wouldn't know that, you know, that kind of thing. So I can't get it out of my head that, you know, I have a certain set mindset about the way things should be. And it's, obviously, the show has to grow and evolve after 32 seasons or whatever. So my mind is stuck in the past.
I feel like I'm with you just because I'm like, they would never have an open relationship. Like, I remember there was one where, like, sorry, we're just like totally careening off, but we're like, Homer and Marge have an open relationship. And I'm like, what's happening? No.
That's shocking. I had no idea about that.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. They had their own, it's a whole thing. Okay. So do you think that Portland's fast food is better than other cities?
Okay, I got to make this distinction.
Okay.
Corporate fast food versus locally made fast food.
Right.
No, Portland's corporate fast food is a wasteland compared to places like Florida and Texas and things like that, because they have, you know, you know, Texas, they got 50 fast food chains of every stripe. In fact, every time they do one of those polls, like, you know, to 10, whatever, what every state's favorite candy or whatever, Portland's least favorite food is fast food. And Oregon's least favorite food is fast food. And I understand that because we have such an incredible agricultural scene here and we have such an incredible cooking scene. So, and there's really not that much call for fast food. There's obviously more out in the suburbs and there's more in Vancouver, but like in central Portland, there's very little fast food of any kind. So in terms of corporate chains, which I know that we in Portland don't generally approve of anyway, but in terms of locally made things that are kind of like fast food, we kick. I don't think there's any other city that can compare to Portland.
When you have visitors, where do you take them to eat?
I take them to Cart Pods in general. I mean, the food cart scene we have here is spectacular. And I'm sure you've already covered why that is. And everybody listening to this knows why that is. Our food carts are unparalleled. And there are such an incredibly wide variety of different types of stuff you can get. And it's generally spectacular. So what I do is I take them to a couple Cart Pods. And since I live in Southeast, it's usually the Cart Pod that is at John's Marketplace that has JoJo and Matt and Mamere's. And then there's also another pod called Hinterland, which is like on Southeast 50th, their division, which has Burger Stevens and Matt's Barbecue Tacos. When I have visitors, those are the two places I take them. And I say, we're going to have four small meals at those four places.
Nice. You know, something that Portland also does really, really well is vegan junk food.
For sure.
What's your take on vegan junk food?
I really like it. I feel like vegan stuff, I didn't have that much vegan stuff prior to a few years ago. But what I did, I didn't like. And I think that recently, or in the past couple of years, it has turned the corner where sometimes I can't even tell the difference. It used to be cheese. Well, the cheese was the issue for me. But now there is vegan cheese that I can't discern from regular milk cheese.
Right.
And the same with a number of meats. And I think there's a couple places that I went to. Gnarly's, the food cart Gnarly's, if you haven't been there, it's amazing. The Gnarly's burger is as good as all the best beef burgers in town. And I would have a hard time figuring out that it wasn't vegan. And pizza, Boxcar Pizza we have. Have you been to Gnarly's?
Oh yeah. Well, no, I've been to Boxcar. I have yet to go to Gnarly's. Gnarly's is on Southeast Oak and Southeast 9th. And I know Boxcar's around there, right?
It's in the zipper, like 24th and Sandy. But in any case, the answer is vegan food has arrived. Vegan junk food especially.
Yeah. Did you know that Oregon invented the tater tot? I was just curious.
I did kind of know that because of the Ore-Ida thing blew my mind the first time I figured that out. And it was only a few years ago. Like, oh, wait, it's Oregon and Idaho.
Yeah.
And that's, they, I guess, invented the tater tots. So yeah, that's, it's a remark. Also, when you drive, if you ever drive out there, you drive right past their factory, which is kind of near the border. And it's a remarkable thing to see.
Oh, not driven by there. But something that it created was that, you know, the tachos, because Portland, you know, invented the tachos. And so it's a discussion we have a lot, you know, in the show. And I want your expert opinion on this quintessential bar food. Would you consider tachos nachos or their own thing?
I would consider them to be their own thing. I think the only thing that's similar about them, it's the name. It's like this portmanteau word of tachos. It really, it would just be loaded. A lot of places call them loaded tots, you know? And if you just were to order loaded tots, you would not even think for a second these are nachos.
Thank you. That is my opinion. Because it's like, oh, then why don't we just, you know, put tots in a burger instead of a patty and then, you know, call it tot burger. Obviously, that's not hamburger. Like, you know, it's just a sandwich tot.
It's a fun thing to say.
For sure.
Tachos. But it is not, it's not a type of nacho.
Right.
It's like, more, it's more closer to those things like that people call like the stuffed baked potatoes and things like that. I mean, it's not even in the vein of a nacho.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you a fan of those? Like, I was curious if you have like a favorite or.
Yeah, I do. And I don't think I'm alone in this opinion. Bottle Rocket has the best tater tots in town. Those fish sauce tots they have are delicious. Also, their burgers are top notch too. In terms of places that have non-fish sauce tots, Bunk Bar to me is always the best. I think they have a couple locations, including that new one in Bridgeport Village, but I've had it at the normal one on Water Avenue, and I love their tots, man.
They used to have a location, like a much smaller space, and I just remember, and this was like over 10 years ago, Bill, and like we would all get, like we would pack in, but I do miss those days, you know, like going into their sandwich shop that was like a little shoebox and then like walking out and smelling like all their sandwiches all at once. You know? I have to ask now, like, who do you think makes the best burger in town?
Okay. Now,
I know you have opinions.
This, for sure, I have opinions about this. This is going to be a very long, complicated answer. I did a survey of most, if not all of the burgers in Portland in 2020, 2021 with the People from Portland Monthly. And I was on a team and we tried easily over 100 burgers in this town. And some of the places are out of business now, but I did get a really good idea of the burger landscape. And the answer to your question is it's a 7-way tie.
Okay.
The problem is that everybody has a slightly different type of burger that they like. Some people like smash burgers, some probably traditional burgers. You know, some people like unusual burgers. My preference for a burger is a classic burger, meaning the toppings you would get on a quarter pounder deluxe, which is lettuce, tomato, onions, sometimes pickles, you know, mayo, maybe ketchup, mustard. Okay. And so I don't even.
No cheese?
Oh, cheese, of course. Cheese. That goes without saying. But the best burger in town that is not that type of burger is the steam burger at Kennard. And I think everybody knows that. Those burgers, I mean, they're like White Castle style burgers. And they're amazing. I could eat 1,000 of them. But I'm limiting this because we only have, I don't know, a couple hours to discuss this. I'm limiting it to 7. Okay. And I'll reel them off. You can ask questions about them. But it's a 7-way tie between, well, first of all, Gnarly's, the vegan place, is in there amongst all the beef burgers. Fuller's Burger Shack, which is a spinoff of Fuller's, a coffee shop that's been around since 1947.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They have a location out at Cascade Station, and they also are opening a new one in the mall in Pioneer Place. Mid-City Smash Burgers Deluxe Boy. Everybody knows them. Farmer and the Beast, which is a food cart at the Knob Hill Cart Pods on Northwest 24th, I guess it is. Spectacular smash burger. Sure Shot, which is another cart, and that place has delicious burgers, and they have a lot of interesting variations on that burger too.
Yeah.
Hit the Spot has always been one of my favorites. Hit the Spot used to be a cart on Sandy. Now it is actually a restaurant at like 11th and Morrison. And then finally Burger Stevens, as I mentioned, which has two locations, one of them at the Hinterland Pod, which I already talked about. So those burgers are represent kind of a spectrum of traditional burgers. Some of them are smashed, some of them are not. They all come should you request it with those traditional toppings. And honestly, it just depends on what I'm in the mood for.
Right.
And what your personal preference is. Like, I don't like brown mustard on a burger or whatever, that kind of thing. So it's impossible to rank them I can't say any of them are the best because each one of them is the best at individual moment.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break here. And when we return, I have a very controversial question to ask Bill Oakley.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Well, I'm going to ask a very controversial take. Which would be your pick, Burgerville or Little Big Burger?
Oh, Burgerville by a mile.
All right.
I don't want to get a lot of public feedback about this. I've never been.
I love you, Lee.
I've never so been a fan of Little Big Burger because I think the burgers are too thick and tough.
What about their fries, though? The truffle fries.
I don't like truffles on my fries.
Ooh, okay.
The atmosphere of the restaurants for sure. But Burgerville, here's the thing about Burgerville. The burgers at Burgerville are the Achilles heel. Everything else at Burgerville is an A.
Solid,
yeah. The burgers themselves are like a B or B minus because it's the meat doesn't have any flavor. The flavor of the burger is entirely defined by the toppings, which is the case with many burgers, but is not the case with premium. You know, if you go to Shake Shack, for instance, or Five Guys, which are not really fast food, or any of the seven places I mentioned, you will taste the meat and you will be like, ah, that's delicious. The delicious flavor of ground beef with the Maillard reaction. Burgerville does not have that. And it's probably because they, you know, they're a chain and they have to crank out whatever, 25,000 burgers a day. But everything else there is amazing. Oh my God. I love those Walla Walla onion rings. I love that. I think it's the asparagus and those things I love. And also their chicken things are very good. So like, honestly, most of the items on the Burgerville menu for me are A's except for the burgers, which are generally B's.
So I don't know. This might answer my next question, but we're Burgerville versus In-N-Out.
I don't want to answer that. Okay.
It feels like I want to live in Portland. I want to stay here.
Look, here's the thing about In-N-Out. They have their menu consists of 8 items, been the same menu since 1948, except that they added lemonade and hot chocolate over the past 75 years. Okay. I am not one of those people who is a huge fan of In-N-Out. Like, I certainly wouldn't go there and wait for an hour in line. If I could get my burger and get out in 5 minutes, I would like to go there. Well, I guess I'm stating the obvious. Their burgers are better than Burgerville's burgers.
Okay.
But they don't have anything else. Whereas Burgerville has, as I said, 25 other items that are A's.
Yeah.
The fries are terrible in In-N-Out. Shakes are okay.
Terrible, yeah.
The burgers, I think, are great. I'm not a partisan for In-N-Out. I like them just fine. I would not, if I drove up and there was a line that seemed like it was more than 20 cars long, I would leave.
Okay. Shake Shack, Burgerville.
The burgers are better at Shake Shack, but almost everything is better. I haven't had a lot of things on the Shake Shack menu that are not the burgers, so I can't really speak with authority on this. I prefer the burgers at Shake Shack.
I just want everyone to know that Bill looks pained. Like, he is totally reassessing why he came on the show. Like, he's just like, I didn't think it was going to be this tough. I didn't think it was going to be math.
These are tough questions because it's also like, if we're just talking about the burgers, it's one thing. If we're talking about the whole menu, it's another thing. But I like, again, Burgerville has all the other stuff, and that's what makes it worth the trip.
Well, Bill, I'm curious if there are any new places in town that, you know, I know we went burger heavy, but if there are any new, you know, more junk food purveyors that you would want to shout out that we didn't talk about.
You know, I can tell you there are 3 places that are all on the top of my list to go to that I haven't yet been to, but they look amazing based on Instagram and based on the recommendations of people that I trust in the Portland food Instagram universe. The first one is
suspense.
Wolf's Head Barbecue, the Wolf's Head Burger Place. Wolf's Head used to be a barbecue cart out in Beaverton, and they recently opened a actual place that has burgers and other things in that, you know, kind of a Shake Shack style menu, which is down kind of under the Hawthorne Bridge, like down near the industrial area. And I went there, but it was closed. It was not open on the weekends, so I didn't get to go. But that place, every time I see it, on Instagram, I'm drooling, and every people I trust tell me I gotta go. So I'm gonna go there. That's exciting. Next is another burger place that's a pop-up called Champs Burgers. And this place pops up, and apparently there's like immediately 100 people in line because it's so good. And apparently they make everything from scratch, including the buns they make themselves.
Whoa.
And it pops up periodically at various places, mainly in the Southeast, I think, on Foster and so forth. So that place I'm dying to try as well. Oh, and then lastly, a new place that's opened that apparently has some pretty good auspices called Los Burros Supremos, which makes a variety. It's on Division in that building kind of near Stumptown Coffee. And it makes a pretty interesting variety of burritos a number of different forms, and they also have other like stuff that's queso, I see, looks amazing. So that's the third place that I'm very excited about going to.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like Portland needs to embrace queso just a lot more. Because imagine if like the way Portland makes food, if they just like really went into queso, oh my God, we'd be unstoppable.
I think there's something there, especially the queso with tots, you know, combining that. But yeah, queso is addictive. Even lousy queso is still pretty good. And it's like, no matter how much I'm given, I have a hard time not eating the whole thing. And that's, I think this, anyway, Los Burros Supremos, the queso looks delicious that I've seen online. And I hope to get some soon.
All right. Well, Bill, final question. What would be Homer Simpson's favorite fast food establishment?
Oh man, it's out of business. It would be Big Ass Sandwiches. Do you remember Big Ass Sandwiches?
Yeah.
It's like that's immediately the one that popped into mind. Their sandwiches were grotesque. I think I only had one, but they were like loaded with French fries and cheese and like enormous. And I wish they were not out of business, but I think they went out of business like 10 years ago. That's unquestionably would be my choice.
Oh man.
Homer's choice.
Yeah, because it just looks like four meals in a sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh man. Any place that is open?
Well, I would probably say Tight Tacos. I think Tight Tacos has some of those.
That's left field.
You know Tight Tacos?
Yeah.
They have a menu of Mexican food, and they have a few different things that are like enormous burritos. And I believe that's I'm trying to think of something that Homer would want to devour, which would probably be enormous. And
yeah,
that's the giant burrito at Tight Tacos would probably take the cake.
Oh yeah. I'm looking at it now. And
which one is it?
It's the Hellerito.
Yes, that's it.
The Hellerito. Yep. Like literally Hella and then Rito at the end. And it just looks like a Taco Bell fever dream, but like good, you know, like someone actually made it.
Oh, the food there is really good. I've had the Hellerito and it's remarkable.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and for your passion in this field.
Thank you.
You're so thoughtful in your answers, and I appreciate it. I think we might keep some of the pauses just so people know how hard you were thinking about things.
I like to give accurate answers when asked these questions.
I just have a quick fact check on myself. There was never an episode where Homer and Marge had an open relationship. What actually happened was they were on a trial separation and both started dating other people. And if I had watched that episode until the very end, I would have also known that Homer dreamt the whole thing up. But since I stopped halfway because I was really creeped out, I kind of fever dreamed the entire scenario. So I apologize to all the comic book guys out there clutching their pearls at my error during the interview. Well, that's all for today here on CityCast Portland. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Until then, see you at Slim's.